Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you in worship here in person and also joining us online on this beautiful day the Lord has given to us. Easter joy lives on. Hallelujah. The reason for our hope throughout this life and the joy that this hope gives with it, well, it is backed up by plenty of eyewitness testimony. The hope that they had is the hope that we still have, and that hope is there even during times of uncertainty. And so with the Apostle Paul, we remind ourselves to rejoice in the Lord always, and we say it a second time. And so let our rejoicing continue as we now turn to our invocation. I invite you to the bottom of page 3 as we begin our worship. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our song starts on page 4.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. On this second Sunday of Easter, a reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Acts, the second chapter, reminding us that our hope in Jesus is indeed rock solid. We have eyewitness testimony concerning his resurrection. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
What does a living hope look like? It exudes joy. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter, the proof that Jesus is alive has been preserved throughout history. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
As we now continue with our hymn of the day. Indeed, Easter joy lives on. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. And this is indeed from God our Father through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning, turning back to these words from 1 Peter. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom our hope and our joy continues to live on. Can you jump in the air? Could you ever? Some people can jump pretty high, and it's pretty amazing to watch some people how high they can jump, while others of us, not so much. Some people jump around when they're at a sporting event. Some people jump around when they have good news shared with them. Some people jump out of the way when there is something coming at them. Well, while we may not be able to physically jump in the air any longer, we still can jump. Maybe not for those reasons that were listed or other reasons, but we do have reason to jump in our hearts and in our minds. God gives us reasons to rejoice and thus to jump. At the heart of those reasons, those 10,000 plus reasons, is Jesus and what he has done for us. And what we then are to do with those reasons, we are to make those reasons for joy and jumping evident through us. But it all starts with Jesus and what he has done for us. At the heart of what he has done for us, there's the cross. This world is not a good place. Not that world per se, but the people living in this world. I mean, by nature, we are not good people. We like to think we are, but thankfully, there's the natural law in our heart and the law of the land that keeps that evil in check from time to time. But overall, right, we are not good people, as evidenced on the news day after day, and that's why some people don't even listen to the news and don't even realize what is going on. Not for some that works, and for others, maybe they need to catch on a little bit more. But we're right there with the world, the people of this world, who allow evil to get the best of us more than we care to admit. And so we confess our sins each time we gather for worship. We confess those sins publicly in a way that we are aware of, while we also at the same time are confessing to God only those sins that he knows, and he definitely knows. And it's for all the evil in this world, in thought, word, and deed, that the people of this world commit, including you and me, that Jesus went to the cross. It was not for his sin or imperfection, for he had none. Yet he was willing to lay down his perfect life for us imperfect people. Right there alone, we have reason upon reason to rejoice. And so you can see the 10,000 plus reasons, because I mean, if you were to try to calculate how many sins you have committed and how many you're committing right now while you're listening, I think. Wow. Praise God and rejoice for the cross of Jesus. But that's not all we have to rejoice in. Because through the cross, our consciences can be quiet, and praise the Lord for that, because people try tirelessly to quiet their conscience, because deep down we know that we have done something wrong, and so we'll try to cover up that wrong with lie after lie or through other means, but there really is only one way to quiet the conscience consistently and for all, and that's through the cross. Because through the cross of Jesus, we have peace that only the cross of Jesus can give. And that peace is sealed then by what Jesus also did, by breaking death's bond. He rose from the tomb. He was dead, but no longer. The tomb is empty. And that empty tomb seals for us a living hope. And this hope is a firm confidence. It's not a wish. It's a firm conviction. And we know in what has happened and what will happen because of that empty tomb. But in a way, it started with the cross and continued through the empty tomb. And because that tomb is empty, and because of the cross, we have been given an inheritance second to none. There's nothing like it. I mean, the inheritance that we receive through the cross and the empty tomb, it is very desirable, and it is lasting. Jesus has not given us an inheritance that is 100 acres of swampland with a little hut in the middle of it surrounded by alligators. No, he has given us emeralds upon emeralds, gold upon gold, rivers that do not end. It's truly paradise. And that's ours to have and to hold in God's good time for us. But it's been won for us already, and it's sealed. Romans 8 reminds us that nothing, all the trials and the tribulations that we endure here on this side of heaven, not even death itself can separate us from this living hope that we have and the inheritance that has been won for us. It's a living hope, a firm conviction, because there is eyewitness testimony that has endured the test of time. I mean, people try to dispute the scriptures, and yet the scriptures are still here as the Lord predicted. People come and go, their ideas come and go, and yet the word of the Lord endures forever. And at the heart of that word is the cross and the empty tomb. And so we have been given reasons to rejoice. And those reasons to rejoice become our very own by God's mercy. His mercy is something that overflows, like filling a glass of water and we get distracted and the water just keeps overflowing. I mean, His mercy, we don't have to worry about drought seasons with His mercy. It's new and fresh each and every morning. Praise God for that. It's His mercy that moves Him to action even when we don't deserve it. It's His mercy that put the plan of salvation into place and at the right time sent His Son to be born of a virgin and who would live that perfect life that we cannot live and be credited to us and die on the cross and rise from the tomb and ascend back into heaven. All that has been given to us through His calling of us to Himself. Using His means of grace, His tools, the gospel, in the word itself and in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Through those means of grace, He has filled us and continues to fill us with a living hope. We have been given a new birth, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about in John chapter 3. A person needs to be born again, not physically, but spiritually. Not by our own decision, but by God's will and call. Because if it was by our decision, A, we couldn't do it because we're sinful by nature and spiritually dead, and dead people can't make decisions. And if it was our decision, we could never be sure we made the right decision. But because it's God's call, we have confidence because it's on Him, not on us. And so He reminds us to stay connected to Him through those same means of grace that brings us into a relationship with Him and connects us to the cross and the empty tomb. I mean, we keep our vehicles charged or filled up with gasoline so that we can run. And we maintain our vehicles so that they can run at peak performance because we know what happens when they don't. We end up on I-5 stuck in the 2 o'clock in the morning with a dead battery or out of gas or out of oil because we didn't realize we were supposed to add oil and change it from time to time. But how many people do that with their soul? They are called into a relationship with Jesus, but they neglect or forget or become willful in not filling up the tank. God, help us encourage one another as they encourage us to keep our tank filled by staying connected to the very means that can do that. And as we see the reasons we have to rejoice, we want to stay connected. And the more we're connected, the more clearer the reasons become to us. And the more we're connected and those reasons to rejoice become clearer to us, the more then those reasons to rejoice will become evident through us. You know, the Apostle Peter reminds us that through that call to faith and staying connected through the means of grace, that God continually shields us, protects us from the dangers that are lurking all around us, so that we can hold on to that inheritance that has been won for us and sealed through the empty tomb. Through that faith that he has given to us and that shield he puts before us, he keeps us looking forward. And we're able to look forward because of what happened in the past. Our reasons to rejoice are built on the past, the cross, and the empty tomb. And it's those things that help us live in the present with an eye to what is still ahead. Hebrews 11 reminds us that faith is being sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We're not there yet, but through Scripture we can see it. The Apostle Paul thus wrote, "We're not there yet, but we keep pressing toward the goal. We're not looking behind us, holding on to things of this world. We're looking back to see what has been won for us through the cross and the empty tomb, but we do that so that we can look forward and live in the moment, knowing which direction we're going. We have reasons to rejoice." And so really, there's no better protection plan and way to combat doubt and despair than the living hope that Jesus has won for us. And thus, our reasons to rejoice. Even in the face of suffering, because God knows we're going to go through suffering, the Apostle Peter is writing to Christians who were enduring persecution on account of their confession of faith in Jesus. You and I, we at times endure, whether subtle or very open, attacks on our faith because we hold on to Jesus. Some want to think he's outdated, but yet he's the very thing we need. Again, as noted last week, the change that our society needs is not a change further away from God, but a change back to God and his word and his will. He also knows the trials and sufferings that we endure physically and mentally. Many of us are not as good as we once were. But that doesn't change what Jesus has won for us. Romans 8 again. None of that nulls and voids what has been won for us and what is waiting for us. So the Lord reminds us that suffering does have value. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, how he can use our suffering to refocus us when we need to be refocused, to remind us that this world is not where we want to remain. We want to go where Jesus has put a place for us. Suffering can make us stronger where it matters most. And as we endure that, we are in a better position to pass along the joy that we have. I mean, do you like to hang around somebody who's half empty? Always complaining? And especially amongst Christians who have 10,000 plus reasons to rejoice, and yet they act like Jesus is still dead on the cross. Well, why would I want you, what you have, when you can't even find a reason to put a smile on your face? Do you enjoy being a crab? Did God call us to be crabs? Maybe Jeeps can be a crab, but not us. We have been given reasons to rejoice. The cross, it's finished. The tomb is empty. Part of the joy that we lose is because we keep coming up with these human-made laws. Do not taste, do not touch, do not handle. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? You get so caught up in that, you put up obstacles for people to come to the gospel and enjoy the gospel. And so we need to continually remind ourselves, while human rules and traditions and regulations have their place, they're not to become obstacles. And so how many families have broken apart because mom and dad were too much of a disciplinarian? They always said, Jesus is watching you, and so you better behave. Well, that's good motivation. Or they go the other side and don't even care about their children and what they're doing. There's a Lutheran middle in there, one author wrote, to avoid the ditches of military, it has its place, and also looseness or laxness. God help us find that middle in our own families and in our church family so that we can exude joy while being realistic of what is going on all around us. The opportunities to exude joy exist every day. We are to be living billboards for Jesus in our social events, in our workplace, in our school, wherever we are. We are to be a living billboard. As Peter said, always be ready to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you are a crab, then you're not able to give a reason for the hope you have because no one will ask you. I'm not trying to be terse. Just be realistic. God, help us break down the barriers for people to hear the gospel and enjoy the gospel. Being realistic of what's going on, because what really can help us through the sufferings that we endure, it's the gospel. People need to be connected to it. Again, being joyful is not the same as happy. We're not happy with the sufferings that we have to endure, but our joy can still be there. Because our joy is not rooted in our suffering, it's rooted in the cross, it is finished, in the tomb that is empty. So whatever we do, by the grace of God, may we do it to the glory of God. Living our life as living sacrifices, that's our spiritual act of worship. For we have plenty of reasons, 10,000 plus reasons to rejoice and to keep on rejoicing. At the heart of those reasons are rooted in the past actions of Jesus, which still impact the moments we are living right now, while also then directing our eyes and our minds and our hearts to what is to come so that we can live the moment confident, hopeful, and ever rejoicing. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It's printed out for us on page 10. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
seated. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all the universe. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith, so that we may unto you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special
measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us.
Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far and bring people into heaven. Life is precious. Thank you for the gift of life, able to be celebrated this week as family and friends celebrate a birthday. Be with Rod Gunter as he undergoes serious surgery this week. Bless the medical team with the skill needed for this surgery, that Rod may get through this and begin to recover from it. Help Barb and family remain patient as they wait on the results. As Timothy Wiensoler and Rose Tracy look forward to their wedding day later this week, continue to fill them with joy, and may that joy continue all their years together. At the root of that joy for each other is a love for you, so may they always seek your word to guide them and fuel their joy. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled the holy law. By his innocent death, he will redeem us. By his rising from the grave, he will condemn.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
We pray.
Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
The gift and joy of Christmas is all year round. Because with Christmas comes the cross and the empty tomb and the inheritance won for us, something to look forward to. Blessings on your rejoicing today and throughout the week. If you haven't filled out a blue connection card, please take the opportunity to do so, and you can put it in the basket there and the table in the entryway or on the boxes that are attached to the wall as you enter the church proper. And also then take the time to meet and greet those you know and those you don't know. We have coffee ready to be served and some treats there as well in the lobby. A Bible study, it resumes again today. We're continuing our look at the Augsburg Confession here in the church proper. Handouts are available there in the entryway where you found the bulletins. And for our teens, they'll be meeting up in the teen room. And then Sunday school this week, we'll be meeting in the library. And you can you'll probably be starting out in the chapel. So at 9:15, starting in the chapel, and then from the chapel, enter through the office door to get into the library as our patio is under construction, as you can tell. So that's not an exit for a few weeks, this middle door here. So just be careful as you walk around 1 week into the project. It's about a five-week project, so that's what we're planning on. Men's conference is coming up on the 29th, and so if you haven't signed up for that yet, please do so. It's here at St. Mark's in our multi-purpose center. We have a great speaker coming in to encourage us, especially as men, and what it takes to live as a godly man. You can read more about that in the weekly news. And then regarding my call, I thank you for your prayers and thoughts. I will be staying among you. And so thank you for the opportunity. So God be praised, and may you continue to bless the work that we do together. Thank you.